on, ladies and gentlemen. This is your Totally Unnecessary Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy, and with us, as usual, our co-host, Luis. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Pretty good, man.
I'm sorry, I was laughing before we even started for whatever reason, and it just carried over. I was like, I'm still fucking laughing.
You're laughing at me?
No, I was laughing before you even started. I was laughing like silently just in the countdown, and it just got even worse when I realized I was going to have to talk, and I was still laughing. Whatever. Anyway, how's it going, man? How are you today? This warm June day.
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing great. It's been a good week. I had a friend's birthday last weekend, and we've been going to Six Flags almost every day this week.
Damn.
My season pass, and me and my girl, we've been taking friends. Oh, because this week is like bring a friend free week or whatever.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, we've been bringing other friends, going out and stuff, and it's been a busy week. Just tiring.
Use that shit. Get your money's worth, man.
Hell yeah.
Everything's expensive enough in that thing, so it's not like they're losing money.
Yeah, we always go for like the drink cup and everything because you can refill it for free. So yeah. We eat first and just have drinks there. Yeah, take a little bottle of secret liquor with us. So.
Flask enhanced, fucking vacation right there. Flask enhanced.
What about you, man?
Dude, my family was actually here this past weekend. My dad had doctor's appointment, so they were up here and took him out to eat. I didn't go home for Mother's Day because I'm an awesome son. So I took my mom out to eat. I took them both out to eat, but, you know, it was for that. And just hung out with them. My mom actually wasn't feeling all too great, so I ended up having to take her to the doctor, but everything was all good.
That's good.
Took her to get like some shopping done and then just hung out. That was it. The rest of the week's been fairly uneventful, but that's
well, really, lucky you.
Yeah, it's been fairly uneventful for me. It's been fairly eventful
for our fearless leader
out in the world in general. It's been an eventful day.
Yeah. It's been an eventful week.
Yeah, I guess. So, well, we could start off with an update. Quick update on something we talked about a few weeks ago. Especially dealing with the whole fast food controversy going out there. But the mayor's race came to an end. The runoff. And Nuremberg won. Brockhaus lost.
Woo! Anybody really care? Anybody?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously,
we don't care.
Based on what we said before, that was kind of the outcome we were looking at, or
yeah,
kind of hoping for. You know, I guess the funniest commentary or whatever I saw on it was somebody saying, basing your campaign on a chicken sandwich isn't a good idea. So, you know, congratulations to Mr. Nuremberg, and good luck to you.
Good luck, yeah.
Hopefully things go well. So, yeah. Moving on to
our own fearless leader, I guess.
We'll go ahead. Someone that we wish the election was already over for.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, yesterday, the President of the United States, Donald John Trump, basically admitted on TV that if he was contacted by a foreign government to be given dirt on a political opponent, he would gladly take it. So, after 2 years of saying no collusion, last night he basically said, I mean, I'll collude if you let me.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It was like, I don't, what's wrong with listening to foreign leaders about opposition research for your opponent?
Well, opposition research is one thing, but this is like like dirt, like the, you know, the things that they had on Hillary wasn't research. They stole her shit. It's totally different. And the main issue with what he said was because, of course, this happens periodically, and the standard protocol is basically the moment this happens, and there is precedent because it has happened before, when this happens, you're supposed to contact the authorities, contact the FBI, and say, hey, you know, this is what was offered for me. And George Stephanopoulos told Trump, like, the director of the FBI said that you should call the FBI if this happens. And he flat out said he's wrong. The director of the FBI is wrong because this...
Yeah, he says it doesn't equal interference.
Yeah, because this trust fund baby who is, you know, I don't know what his IQ level is, but he said, dumb.
he said the FBI doesn't have enough agents to take care of it. If he reported it.
He's dumb. What? He's dumb. He would just say anything. He would just say anything. That's just like... So,
And you know what? I think after our little Sarah Huckabee Sanders heard that, she decides to get out.
I'm out.
She's jumping ship. She's like,
I've done some horrible, despicable things. I've said more lies than a person can care to count. I'm out. This is enough.
He's like, she just admitted, or he just admitted it. I'm gone.
Yeah, it's like, what are we even doing here? Like, for two and a half years, we've been like, or however many long years, 3 years. I don't know how long has she been there. And she's been like, no collusion. This dude's like, yeah, I totally collude. Totally.
I don't even know what to say, man. Dude, like, that's ridiculous.
To see his defenders, you know, turning themselves in knots trying to defend this shit is hilarious.
I know. They're probably running in the background. Holy shit!
Right?
He just said it on national television.
It's like somebody says, like, Stephanopoulos baited him and trapped him into saying that. Like, really?
Shit, what?
It's fucking hilarious, dude. They have no shame. They have no shame when it comes to this stuff. And their big thing is like, oh, it's like, this is compared to Hillary with the dossier in 2016, and when it's not, because that is one opposition research. Two, that was actually started by Republicans. Look that shit up, please, if you don't believe me, whoever's listening. The Steele dossier was started by Republicans during the primaries that did not want him to get the nomination. Clinton started paying for the data after Trump got the nomination because everything was already there. The main issue, the main issue is that Steele was not a member of a government. In fact, he was working for a U.S. company at the time. And again, he's just a person. He's not a member of the government. The most important thing about this is when Steele came up with all the information he did come up with, he didn't even go to Clinton. He went to the FBI, which is how the whole Russia thing like got kicked off, because they already had been tipped off for Papadopoulos and those other dudes. So once the dossier came into play, it's like, dude, something's really up. So it's not the same comparison. It's wrong. This dude.
I mean, idiot.
Yeah. That's all. What else do you need? What else you got to do to be impeached in this place? So,
yeah,
that's where we're
Trump
at.
Trump admitted it.
Yeah,
His people are leaving his freaking White House. They're running for the hills. That's what's going on right now.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who never met a lie she wouldn't tell. She's resigning. What's the world going to do without that just completely charming woman with that gleaming personality? What are we going to do without her? I don't know. They haven't said. Have you read anything as to why? Have they said why? Something about torturing her family or some shit?
Oh, no, I didn't even read why. I didn't care that much about her.
I don't think they...
I was just like, you know what? I was like, happy. All right, bye.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah. It's like...
Next liar to the podium.
Yeah, and that's what... I guess that's the next thing I was going to bring up. It's like, how do you... How do you get worse? Like,
I don't think it could get any worse from there. I think we're at rock bottom, and I'm hoping that it's just going to go up from here. Well, I guess that's just me being an optimist, but...
That's very optimistic in my eyes. You have a much more brighter outlook on this thing than I do.
I try.
Yeah, because it's, to me, it's like, that was the bottom of the barrel. That was scraping it. That's what you put together when you scrape together the crap at the bottom, is Sarah Huckabee. What's next? Outside the barrel, like on the webs on the bottom, like if you fucking turn it over, like
the muck.
Yeah, what else is left? Who is willing to take that job? The reason he has so many shitty people working for him is because, like, smart, objective, moral people don't want to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and they just don't want to work for him, I guess. I don't think you can get anybody else. But I don't know. That's.
You put yourself, like, especially with her job, mainly with her job, like, you're up against the firing squad every time.
Every time.
And you have to defend ridiculous nonsense.
Your employer.
Yeah. Like,
you have to defend your employer.
Yeah, you have to. Like, he said what? I have to go out and defend that shit? He said what? Like, but they have to go do it. They have to. So that's a tough, tough job. I mean, that doesn't excuse all of her blatant lying. I guess you give her a little bit of credit towards the end. Like, these last few months, they've had almost no briefings because it's just like, what's the point of going out there to talk to him if you're just going to lie to him?
Yeah.
Just for them to have clips of you lying to say, look, she lied.
She lied again. Yeah. Another tick on the fucking board.
Yeah, yeah. So, good riddance.
But, I mean, hey, speaking of firing squads, though, like, you saw that John Stewart freaking yelling at them. It was basically like a fire squad. That was crazy.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good at that.
I freaking love John Stewart, man. I've watched his shows all the time, and he just rips them to them. And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, he went up to a council. What was it?
The House Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, the House Judiciary Committee. And I think it was only like half of them were there, and the other half all had other things to do. I don't know what's more important to do than to deal with the people that are dying here in America after an attack. And he just freaking reamed into him, and it was awesome.
Yeah. And I guess the big takeaway from the whole thing, which I'm with you. And no offense to Trevor Noah, because I think he's good at it, but The Daily Show's not the same without Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Like, I watched that shit religiously, and there was a reason why, like, pundits and other people hated them and would say, like, oh, you get your news from The Daily Show? Like, yeah, I do. They're more reliable than you. Like, you know?
Yeah, because... if you know what to listen for, that's a good topic to get. But, like, if you know what to listen for with comedians, they're putting truth out there. They're just absolutely. In a funny way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the biggest sign of, like, the fact of that, basically that credibility, is that dude on his show and wherever it is doesn't have a problem making fun of either side. He'll make fun of Democrats. He'll make fun of Republicans. It's just, you know, Republicans usually make it easier for him. So, you know, and he just brought that intelligence that he used to use on his show and combined it with anger and contempt and emotion and just tore into them.
Yeah, and some of my favorite moments even on his show is when he gets so serious, because you could just see the passion. It's obviously that he's got so much passion about this. I mean, he almost started crying at one point. And yeah. I was like, it started pulling on me too. I was like, dang.
On two separate parts, he almost cried.
Yeah.
On two separate parts, he almost cried because...
I don't know if it was out of frustration or just the pain that he felt for the people.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, for those that don't know, he's been working with these guys, this same group of people for years, since he had his show. Because that's where he got it started the first time. I think he had them on twice. And he's been to Congress with them. All this is on film. You can find it. And so he's gotten to know some of these guys. And one of the guys that helped him get all this stuff started has died already of cancer. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I can send you that stuff, the stuff I saw about it later. And he, something that a lot of people didn't see was before they went out there, they had like a huddle in the hallway where the firefighters and police officers that were backing him up, that friend of his, that firefighter that passed away, they had his suit, his fire suit. And they had all signed it and they gave it to him. They presented it to him. And that was where
I'm getting goosebumps, dude.
Yeah. He broke down in the hallway when they gave him that stuff. And then they, you know, and then they went, I want to say I read that after that, that's when they went in there to present to Congress. So kudos to him. The very next day,
funded it.
They unanimously passed a bill, funded what they were looking for. I knew it was going to have an impact the moment I saw it. I know the moment you saw it, you were like, hey, dude, you see this?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I hadn't seen it yet. And you told me, I was like, dude, I got to go watch that. Because I love Jon Stewart. He's the absolute best, dude.
He's the man.
He's the absolute best. So kudos to him for doing that. And just, again, to the whole lip service of the thing, anytime you hear one of these politicians like, oh, the first responders, Blue Lives Matter, the military. It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit. It's all just talk. It's all just talk. They don't care. They don't care about you. They don't. They truly.
And they're still paying soldiers at the bottom like the freaking lowest wages that they can. And they're spending billions on all this weaponry and all this other stuff that we don't really need anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we could probably use it, but. We need to pay our soldiers better, and we need to deal with them at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
And nothing is getting done. They're not even addressing it.
Yeah. And the big thing about the 9/11 issue is, as he pointed out, like, they told you it's safe when there was concerns. It's safe. It's safe to go into the rubble. It's safe to be breathing all that stuff, and it wasn't. They lied to him. And when people started getting sick, they even lied to him after that. and that's like behind all of this and all this anger, because he did seem angry. You know?
Oh, yeah.
He ended the thing with, you know, they did theirs, you do your job. Like, it's, you know, I don't know how copyright stuff works. I wish we could play some of it on here on the podcast, but I don't want to mess with that. I don't want to be tempting nobody.
Maybe one day we'll figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure you just have to like send an email or something. I don't know. I'm joking. Full of shit. Completely full of shit. Yeah.
Totally unnecessary, bro.
Totally unnecessary. So, yeah. Kudos, Jon Stewart. Thank you, sir. Moving on. What else? What was the last thing we were talking about today? Is this the last thing? Do we have anything else?
I think this is the last thing. Our buddy Tony Parker.
Tony Parker.
San Antonians.
The Frenchman.
Yeah. San Antonians. We all knew it was coming. Everybody knew. It was just, I don't know, we couldn't prepare for it, you know?
Yeah,
I didn't think it was going to come that soon, really.
No, and he hadn't, you know, given any sort of indication. I mean, obviously, everybody knew that he wasn't going to play a lot longer, but in the past, he had said that he wanted to hit 20 years, and he's at 18. So after 18 seasons, number nine, f- future Hall of Fame point guard, former All-Star, former Finals MVP, a couple of All-NBA teams scattered in there, four-time champion. You know, he's Hall of Famer, man. Easy.
Yeah, dude.
He's Hall of Famer easy.
And, you know, it was kind of funny because, like, I don't know. I guess he didn't make any indication, but for me, I don't like you, as you know. I don't really follow sports that much. But when I saw that both Tim and Manu had retired, and then Tony Parker was going off to another team, I honestly didn't see that going well at all. No. I already knew that those three were like best friends. They created this bond with each other, and they created an amazing little trio. And I just kind of felt like him going off to the Hornets was like his last try at continuing. But I don't know. I didn't see it going very long. I didn't.
No, I'm with you on that. When I found out he was going to Hornets, because he was going as a backup.
Yeah.
I was just like, this, it didn't feel right to me. And I was just like, okay, well, this, you know, we're on the home stretch. I didn't know how well it actually would go. I know he did play and have some games, and then he had some injuries. I knew that there were issues, or there was something going on in March whenever they had the Manu retirement ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Because the night or two nights before, the game before, they played the Hornets over there, and he didn't play. He wasn't on the bench, and he flew back with the Spurs for the ceremony.
See, that's what I was saying. He was a Spurs from the beginning, and he's a Spurs for life.
Yeah,
and like, yeah. He created that bond with those two other guys. It's like a brotherhood, and I saw it. Even the few games that I did actually watch throughout their entire time, it was like I could tell that those three were bonded together.
Yeah. And more importantly, or I don't know if more importantly is the right way to say it, but a very important factor in all that as well is Coach Pop.
Like, oh, yeah.
The bond and the closeness that he has with Coach Pop is something pretty...
It's like three amigos and Coach.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, think, because he got here at the age of 19. So... Like, he has said that Coach Pop was basically a second father to him. And
yeah.
He's watched him grow, watched him through the good, the bad, the learning, the yelling, the bumps, like, everything that they've been through.
Yeah.
That's a type of connection. And, of course, the big three, you know, as always, we're extremely spoiled here in San Antonio to have have this team and everything they've given and what they've done. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like a person. I don't know if you were in sports or not, but I was in sports throughout, like, all of my years in school. And that bond that you create with somebody, even the few years that you're in school with them, it's still very strong. And considering, like, well, how long was he with the Spurs? Was it 18 years?
17
years.
Yeah.
So I just imagine a 2 or 3 year bond that you have with somebody, and that sports, if any of you guys have played sports, the bond that you create there with just 2 or 3 years, 18 years of a bond with those four guys.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's strong, man.
Yeah.
And I did. That's why I didn't see him when he went to the Hornets. I was like, nah, that ain't going to last. He's going to come back. I mean, I didn't see him retiring, but
I did think he would end up playing here again. But I do understand the whole, like, people are like, why did he even leave? When in hindsight, when you think about the fact that DeJounte Murray got hurt, yeah, you'd say, well, it would have been nice to have him. But when they let him go in free agency, they obviously didn't know that DeJounte Murray was going to get hurt. And they're trying to build up, you know, Bryn Forbes, Derek White, and DeJounte Murray. And then you have him. It's basically like you're not, like, they're trying to build for this future. You're not going to get that many minutes. Are you sure you want to be here? I still say he should have stayed, but, you know, it is what it is. And also, more importantly, to your point about the bond and the years and all that, you know, it's one thing to have that, all those years and that experience, but to also have it with a massive amount of success.
Oh, you know, yeah.
When things are going great, you're obviously happier and you're getting along better. and they were great. They had a lot of success, so that had to strengthen that bond between the four of them even more, which is why, you know, they're family. And when you see them, you know, with each other, the way they talk to each other, I know, like, there were a few games. Well, that game when the Manu retirement game, like, the three of them were sitting in the stands next to each other just chilling. Like, I don't know, man. It's...
Yeah, they, and that was something that he actually said in his interview. I was reading up before this. He was talking about how when he was with the Spurs, it was always a go for the gold. You know, it was go for the championship, go for the championship. But then he said that he would, when he got to the Hornets, it was like the first few days he knew, like, the whole demeanor of the team was not go for a win or go for the championship. And so it was completely different to him, and he felt off.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're messing with dudes that are more worried about their paycheck, and you can't, you know, fault them for that. To each his own. But yeah, the culture here is
the culture. Yeah.
Yeah. Here every year, it's just like, we're expecting greatness every year. We're at our 22nd straight year of playoff appearances, you know?
Yeah. This is Texas.
Yeah. And more importantly for this city, because, you know, the support that the Spurs get from the city is crazy, but it's all we got. It's all we got, man. So we love those dudes, and, you know.
Yeah, he says that he plans to live in San Antonio.
Yeah, he's...
But will spend time in France as the owner and president of ASVEL, a French professional men and women's basketball club.
Huh. Nice. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's no mystery or no surprise that he's going to be here.
He's got his brothers here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's been his whole life here. You know, they're never leaving, those three. They will live in this city forever. Same as David Robinson.
Yeah.
We've got...
Can't wait to see them all old and crippled, be like,
I can't wait to see the next HEB commercial, because every year...
Oh my God, yeah.
Every year they've put out a retiree commercial since, well... Last year, with Duncan.
Duncan, yeah.
Yeah, when Duncan retired, they did a retired thing with him. Then Ginobili last year. And for sure, you know, they're coming up with... HEB's already working on it. I'm pretty sure. My inside sources out in the Delhi department. No, yeah, dude, it's cool. We're like I said, we're extremely...
I wonder if they're going to do a ceremony with his jersey. Even though he finished out his year with the Hornets.
Nah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Which I guess is the one thing that sucks about it, because Robinson was with the Spurs his whole career. Duncan was with the Spurs his whole career, and so was Manu. And damn it, Tony, you left for one season. But whatever. Nah, there.
He wanted to try and keep going. I think that was his big plan. He was going to try, go for that 20. He felt physically happy for it. He was going to do it. And I guess, you know what? I think the spirit was broken once his brothers were gone.
Yeah. Yeah, but his jersey's going up this coming season. I'm guarantee it. It'll go up there. You know, nobody used the number 9.
I hope so.
Nobody used the number 9 this year, and they'll have another ceremony. And that's the last of them. I'm hoping, there's always been talk since the last renovations at the AT&T Center that they're going to build a statue in the front. Like, a lot of stadiums have statues dedicated.
We're going to get the three.
Yeah, and there's always been suggestions like, well, what should it be? Should it be Robinson? Should it be Coach Pop? Should it be Duncan? Should it be the big three? It's like, there's...
Debating that, huh?
Should it be Robinson and Duncan? You know, since they got it all started. I don't know, man. It'd be interesting to see if they did that, and if they did, what they would do. To do the big three would be awesome, but damn, leaving Robinson out would be tough.
Maybe they could give Robinson something else. I think a big statue of the three of them holding out a basketball.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, that would be cool.
And there's a lot of pretty, like, iconic pics of them three together on the court that could easily be made into something. But I don't know.
See some sketches, all you people out there. Yeah, sketch them out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tag us.
Yeah. It's so, you know. Let's congratulations on an awesome career, Tony Parker. Thanks for everything, and best of luck on your pretty fun and easy life the rest of the way.
I know. Have fun and good luck, man.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see you out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm sure he will be out and about somewhere. So that's all we got, man. I guess if we could give one more real quick meaningless update. Game 6 of the NBA Finals is about to start, since we were talking about the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Toronto leads the series. And,
I don't know. I don't know how many people saw that coming.
Not a lot.
or didn't see it coming.
Well, since Durant went out, it's been a bit of a different expectation, but I didn't see it coming. I'd be lying if I said I did. I predicted Golden State winning and didn't really want to watch, but here we are. Here we are, and there they are, and here we go.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank
you all for listening. If y'all want to follow us, tag me in some pictures, some sketches on our Twitter at TOTS Unnecessary, or tag us on Facebook, Totally Unnecessary. Let us know, guys. Give us a like, rate, subscribe. Hit us up.
iTunes, social media, we're out there. Find us. Talk to us. We're friendly people.
Thanks. I'll see you, man.
Thanks a lot, man. We'll catch you later.